Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is actually it's early morning hours of Saturday, March 5th, and this
You
is
get me out of this bunker.
Championship Week
One
Video
out of the bunker.
Notebook, day number five. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Locked in the puppet bunker below me is David Griggs. To
Get
my
me
side
out
is
of here,
David
please.
Gorman. No,
Why?
because we don't have a national champion yet.
Not going to have one of those until April.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to be in here till April.
we've got more TV dinners for you.
Yeah, you got a delicious dinner last night.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Chad
Yeah,
did.
that was one that was left over from last year also, so I hope you're not too sick.
Long shelf life.
This is our Championship Week video notebook. We've got a lot to get to here this evening, beginning with well, I guess news and notes, not too much in terms of news notes. I guess one notable game from last night after we did record our podcast is San Diego State needed double overtime to survive Fresno State, but did survive, which Dorman obviously keeps them still very much alive for that at-large bid, I think.
Yeah, they needed to make sure they won that. It looked dicey in the end, but they pulled it out, had to pull it out. They did. They stay alive.
Yep. No real notable regular season games today, other than I guess we'll do a shout out to Toledo for clinching their second consecutive MAC regular season title. Although they have not made the NCAA tournament since 1980, so hey, they gotta get something going here. But let's get right into the conference tournament games here. Hopefully, we don't have too much noise here. Okay, let's get right into the conference tournaments here, and I will be pulling up the screen share in a second if this works. Dorman, do we see the Ohio Valley up there on the screen?
Yes, we do.
All right, this was the conference that ha featured the game of the night. And I'm not talking about Murray State's complete and utter demolition of SEMO, proving Griggs completely wrong that when he thought
Well,
that
hey,
SEMO
look,
was.
had that game started at the under 16 timeout, SEMO would have won.
Had Murray State bothered playing after that point in time, SEMO would never have won. No, that was a complete thrashing. The final score was a lot closer than the game even was when it was still a 14-point final. But the late game was Morehead and Belmont. Morehead got out to a fairly big lead early in the second half. We were up by 10 or more points. Then Belmont seemed to wake up. It went back and forth and Dorman, it was a pretty ugly game, though. There were a lot of turnovers, just a lot of bad basketball, honestly, I thought.
Yep, you nailed it. A lot of bad basketball, a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad shooting. It took a while to even get the first few points of the game. Once Morehead State did hit a shot in the first half, they seemed to take a little lead. Got up, I believe, 9 at halftime. Belmont looked really bad, out of sorts, as bad as I've seen them in a while. Looked like early November game for them. The first half Belmont was not good. Second half got a little better, but again, a lot of missed shots, a lot of turnovers, and then Belmont down right at the end of the game. Their coach decides to call a timeout as they are hitting the three to take the lead. Does not count. Timeout granted, Belmont.
Is Belmont wishing right now that live ball timeouts were not permitted, which has been one of David Griggs's big things for years, but
I'll talk about it to anybody that'll listen. I bet they agree with me now.
This was, I mean, what a shame that they looked very disorganized, and you could tell the team needed a timeout, but then suddenly they get an open shot as the coach is calling it, and it goes in, and and then even after the timeout, they had the most disorganized play. The play ends up being Mazinski, who is not a 3-point shooter, from three with broom in his face blocking the shot. That's what you call out of that timeout. I thought it was just. Honestly, I thought it was an awful ending, but really awful played game by Melbot. But
Yeah, and
Riggs,
for
go ahead.
Belmont, when you look at what they've been through, before the season started, I called them the most underrewarded team because, like in 2019, they did get to the NCAA tournament as an at-large. I want to say it was Maryland. They seemed to have them beat, and then blew it. And then in 20, they win the OVC tournament, can't play, in the NCAA. Last year, they go 25-3. Unfortunately, one of the games they lost was the championship game, didn't get in. And then, you know, this year, almost assuredly coming up short of the NCAA. I do think they'll be in a postseason tournament, but for as good as Belmont's been, they just have not gotten that national attention or that satisfaction of winning big in the tournament, getting past the round of 64.
Yeah, I think the NIT is most likely in the future, and maybe even a 4 seed, which give them at least a home game there, but we'll see. But I think their NCAA season is done. But Dorman, Murray State and Moorhead tomorrow. If the two teams play like they did today, it's going to be about a 3 million point blowout by Murray, is it not?
Murray State looked like they have all year. They were really good, and they got up early and never looked back. Moorhead State, they know it. They got to put it, they got to play their A plus game. They got to slow the game down. They got to get Murray State to miss shots. They have got to rebound. They've got to take care of the ball and limit the turnovers if they want to have a chance tomorrow night.
Yeah. And every bubble team in the nation is going to be rooting against Moorhead State tomorrow because this would be our first bid thief and our first championship game if it happened. Murray State. Absolutely, Griggs is in the field no matter what at this point.
Yeah, and not only are they in the field, I think they're set in the field. Whatever they are is what they are, whether they win or lose tomorrow. I don't think you get rewarded for doing for a third time what you've already done twice, and I don't think you get punished for failing to do a third time what you've already done twice. I don't think, as far as seeding goes, the game should even matter.
Let's move over to some of the other conferences that played today. Let's start with the Missouri Valley Arch Madness, which unfortunately really wasn't our typical Arch Madness. Dorman, we saw four games that none of them were really close. I guess one of them ended up being a 9-point final. Everything else was double digit finals. It was kind of disappointing, I thought.
It was disappointing if you're looking for tight games. Nothing was really tight. Nothing was even close down the stretch. Everyone was up double digits down the stretch. There was not much drama in St. Louis today, but tomorrow will be fantastic.
Yeah, I think the only game that was even tight at the half was at Drake, Southern Illinois, but Drake turned it on about halfway through the second half, and that was the end of it. But, Griggs, how about this? Northern Iowa versus Loyola, Missouri State versus Drake tomorrow.
Lining to the just blah today is that we've got the chalk held and we got the matchups I think we all kind of wanted to see. And it's the four teams that we talked about at the beginning of the year. We thought that four could get in. It turns out only one likely will, but here they are in the semis.
Yeah. Now, I'm really looking forward to that first game, that Northern Iowa Loyola game.
Oh, yeah.
Drake is a little shorthanded. I don't know that they're going to be able to beat Missouri State tomorrow. I think this Northern Iowa Loyola Chicago, they've played a couple of great games during the regular season, including
the
overtime game right at the end of the season. So should be a great game tomorrow. Big South Conference. I've got to say this here. Wednesday's first round games, we saw three out of the four games go overtime. One of them went double overtime. The one game that didn't go overtime was a last second win by Charleston Southern over Asheville. We started off today with the Longwood A&T game. Guess what it did? It went overtime also. This conference was, as of the end of that first game today, on pace to be to actually eclipse the 2011 Great West Tournament to become the greatest conference tournament of all time until we got to some of the other games, Griggs.
Nothing will ever eclipse that.
I'll put it this way. The average point differential at the end of regulation at that conference tournament back in 2011 was like 1.67 points. Through five games, at the end of regulation, we were at 0.20 points. We were less than a quarter of a point differential. And that was that incredible. Longwood does survive that game against North Carolina A&T, first of all, Dorman. This was a heck of a game that included two missed free throws late by A&T in regulation that could have won them the game.
Yes, it was a fantastic basketball game. Do not look at the final score. This was tight throughout. Longwood looked like they were gaining control in the first half, had a halftime lead. Second half was all A&T. They caught back in, like you said, free throws to win the game, and they could not hit. giving Longwood life, and in overtime, Longwood just really took advantage of the missed free throws. A&T couldn't get over the hump. They just looked devastated after the free throws were missed, and Longwood took advantage.
Griggs, in the middle two games, Upstate looked like they were playing a 12 seed, which they were, and Winthrop looked like the best team in the conference, which they might be, I thought.
Yeah, Winthrop has been kind of, well, I don't know. They've kind of underperformed, but despite that, they've still performed pretty well. And I think they're on pace to win this thing.
The nightcap in this conference, though, the final game was the great game we expected. This was the game we were looking forward to yesterday when we were previewing these. This Gardner-Webb Campbell game, where Gardner-Webb had, you know, there was a late turnover by Gardner-Webb. There was free throws that were missed. There was I thought a bad decision on a clock call there, but at the end of the day, you know, Jordan Whitfield missed a free throw actually at the very end of the very, very end of regulation, which allowed Gardner-Webb to sneak out with a 1-point win over Campbell. But let me actually go back though, because the play actually was that Campbell was inbounding the ball down two with 0.8 seconds left. And there was a big old review. And even after review, they didn't seem to notice it. But when I watched the play live and when I watched the replay, it looked like Whitfield caught the ball, took a step, turned, and then the clock started running. And the foul came with 0.1 seconds left. So I really think that there was a mistake there by the officials. I don't think that foul should even happen. And maybe it was, you know, think the universe balancing out when he did miss that one free throw. But Dorman, your thoughts on that game?
Even the foul on the shot was questionable, whether he even fouled him. The shooter, Whitfield, looked like he kicked out his leg to gain the contact. The refs said there was a lot of reviews, let's just say this, in the last 5 minutes of that game. It took about 20 minutes, but in the end, Gardner-Webb came through. Campbell, like you said, Whitfield missed the last free throw to tie it up. I felt terrible for the kid. I hate seeing that, but great game. Came right down to the end. Gardner-Webb moves on, but I favor Winthrop. If Gardner-Webb they got to play better in the last two than they did in the last 2 minutes, because they really should have had that game won. They were up 5 or 6 with a minute to go and really tried to give it away.
So, Griggs, do you think we could have it? Do you think Winthrop and Longwood could both win tomorrow?
Yeah, and legend has it it's a rematch, but we didn't get to see the first.
we'll see what happens. I think they are both the favorites, although Upstate was hot late in the season, cooled off the last week or two. But I think that the Longwood Upstate game could maybe the better of the two games, even though that's the 1-4 game. It was, let's see, opening round day in the SoCon, where we had Citadel taking down East Tennessee State and Mercer completely demolishing Western Carolina. Griggs, is there anything the Citadel East Tennessee State game actually went overtimes, it's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was pretty good, and it's always fun to see the Citadel win against anyone at any time. So I think Chattanooga rolls them tomorrow, but, you know, nothing too shocking here.
Yeah, I really thought East Tennessee State was the better team. I think the difference in overtime was when their point guard, David Sloan, actually fouled out of the game at the end of regulation, and East Tennessee State started turning the ball over in overtime, and that was the end of it. But Dorman, tomorrow we've got 4 quarterfinals, and any thoughts on any upsets or anything you're looking forward to in these games?
I'm going to be keen on that Furman-Mercer game. Mercer seems to be playing better as of late, and this is a matchup I'm looking forward to. I think that one will go right down to the end, and should be a great one.
Okay, Griggs, anything else in this conference for tomorrow?
I concur with what he said.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. This Samford game has me intrigued. Samford-Greensboro. But I don't know. I think Chattanooga is going to come through this event.
One other conference that was in action tonight, it was the West Coast Conference. And
Dorman, the third or fourth round of it.
The monstrosity of a West Coast Conference tournament, where Dorman, BYU did what we didn't think they could do, but what they needed to do tonight.
I thought this was going to be a tight game. I thought Loyola Marymount would start to play better at the end of the season and get their stuff together, but it was not to be. BYU cruised, not really tested in the end, but it sets up the big showdown tomorrow night, 10:30, like we're showing there, Eastern. It'll be on an ESPN network, San Francisco, BYU. The winner is going to feel pretty good. The loser is going to be in for a long week. I have San Francisco in barely as of right now. I have BYU out barely as of right now. Huge game in the West Coast Conference from Las Vegas tomorrow night.
And I agree with you that San Francisco is in better position. I think that San Francisco still has a very good chance if they lose this game. I don't really like BYU's chances if they lose this game. I think
there's quite a bit at stake for both teams because you get a quality, like it's a bubble team knocking off another bubble team, and it puts you in a position to where you have a chance against Gonzaga, which is not going to set you back.
The bottom half of the bracket there, late last night after we finished our video notebook, San Diego took care of Pepperdine, but then got blown out tonight by Portland. So Portland moves on to play Santa Clara in a game that we will probably be recording our video notebook before that game gets played tomorrow night as well. 1 a.m. Eastern projected start time for that. But really, I think at the bottom half of the bracket, we're just trying to figure out who's going to lose to St. Mary's on Monday night. And that's all that we're doing down there. But that was it for today's games. We do have a few other, we do have a bunch of other conferences that are in action tomorrow, actually, beginning with the Sun Belt back in action. Took the day off today, but into the quarterfinal round with the four quarterfinals being Texas State, Louisiana, Troy against Little Rock, App State against Georgia Southern, Georgia State against Arkansas State. We saw a couple upsets and a couple near upsets in this in the first round, Griggs. Do the upsets continue here in conference chaos tomorrow?
Yeah, probably because of the reasons you just said. I do think Texas State isn't going to have too much trouble with Louisiana, and Troy should pound Little Rock. Little Rock's just been so underwhelming this year, although they did beat South Alabama. I don't know, mate. I'm afraid to say that the chalk should hold, even though I think that it should, simply because of how this league's been all year.
Yeah. Dorman, any other thoughts on maybe on those bottom two games? Do you see an upset?
No, I'm with Griggs on this. I do think Georgia State is about to make a move in this tournament. I think they knock off Arkansas State and then give a good performance probably against Appalachian State. Georgia State, I'm high on this Georgia State team, and I've been high on them and Troy all season long. This is going to be an interesting tournament.
It is semifinal day tomorrow in the A-Sun, where Bellarmine is going to be traveling to Liberty. Jacksonville is going to be traveling to Crosstown to Jacksonville State. Obviously, those two teams were in the same city. These could be a pair of fun games tomorrow, Griggs.
Should be, yeah. And what's interesting is Liberty could – well, no, they can't because if – is it Liberty that goes if Bellarmine wins the tournament, is it who they beat in the championship?
No, it's Jacksonville. It's whoever is the outright regular season champion, which was Jacksonville State. So if Bellarmine beats Liberty, if Bellarmine and Jacksonville State both win tomorrow, then Jacksonville State's in no matter what happens on Tuesday in the championship.
Right.
Should it be Bellarmine against Jacksonville? It'd be a very weird situation where Bellarmine will be playing for Jacksonville State against Jacksonville, the championship game, which you actually saw in this conference a few years ago. Actually,
yeah, we did.
Stetson made a run when they were ineligible.
Yeah, when Stetson went all the way to the it had a chance to get that was crazy.
End of the day, though, I think Liberty's a better team than Bellarmine, and they're going
to
be at home.
So I think so too, but they had to sweat Lipscomb. Like Liberty should, they just feel like they're a team that should be better than what they are, and I keep waiting for them to play up to that ceiling, but they didn't in the quarters.
No, they didn't. Dorman, it is also semifinal day in the Northeast Conference, which although we love this conference, maybe we're just kind of waiting in this league until we get to the championship game on Tuesday night between Bryant and Wagner.
We are. I am. I want to see one more round. Bryant-Wagner, I think these are the premier teams in this conference, but I don't think Mount St. Mary's is going to go down quietly. I look for them to put up a big fight in Bryant tomorrow night.
Really? I was going to say, I thought LIU might be the team with a better chance of putting up a big fight, especially with Wagner missing their second or third best player there with Elijah Ford out, although they do have the NEC Player of the Year in Alex Morales, which was kind of a bit of a shocker that Morales won the NEC Player of the Year over Peter Kiss from Bryant, who led the nation in scoring. So that's very interesting there. But Griggs, how about, do you think that we're going to see an upset in the NEC tomorrow or no?
I don't think so. It wouldn't shock me if like Wagner sweat out Long Island, but I don't think that Long Island will actually have enough in them to win the game. And Bryant Wagner, it was a good. I'm kind of looking forward to that one too, if the chalk holds.
Two more conferences that are going to be tipping off tomorrow for the first time. Starting in the Summit League, one of our favorite conferences, it
Yes.
is two first two of the quarterfinals, only two games tomorrow. We're going to have the 1-8 game between South Dakota State and Omaha and the 2-7 game between North Dakota State and Denver. First question, Griggs, is any upset in either one of those two games?
No, not even. I mean, we've seen the one in the we've seen the 8 seed, I think, play better in this tournament than all other conferences. It seems like they always nearly pull something off. But Omaha is so bad. I just think South Dakota State rolls them. I could see Kansas City giving them some trouble in the semis, no, I don't know.
Denver was a lot better this year than they've been in recent years, so they might be able
Yeah,
to
they
give
finished
North
seventh.
Dakota yeah, as opposed to missing
All the way
the
down
Summit League
to
tournament entirely. So yeah,
seventh.
so they might give North Dakota State like a half of a game or something. But Dorman says first time we looked at it, who do you think wins the Summit League?
South Dakota State, they've looked so dominant, so focused every game this year. They're really locked in. I see that continuing. They're going to be tested, not tomorrow, but I agree with David. Kansas City might give them a game a little Monday night. And in the finals, there's always a chance to be tight. They're probably not going to get in without this automatic bid, although it's getting close. They're one of the teams that does not need bid thieves. They need these conference teams like Murray State to win because they believe they're on the bubble. I think they need to win this league tournament, and I look for their dominance like they've been all year to continue.
I agree with that. Kansas City has so much talent that you just can't help but think that if it all comes together and it's their night, they might be able to knock off South Dakota State. But how can you argue against a team that hasn't lost all year?
Yeah, I just keep thinking back to last year's Summit League tournament where we South Dakota State looked so good heading into it as well and didn't make it out of the tournament. But
Yeah.
I really
And I
I'm
remember being so disappointed because I thought, man, South Dakota State could have won a game in the round of 64. And
yeah.
now that's not going to happen. And then look what happened.
Yep, Oral Roberts, Elite Eight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost the Elite Eight. Yep. Almost the Elite Eight.
Almost.
Let's
Very close.
very close to being the Elite Eight. Obviously, Oral Roberts is the 3 seed here, so keep a look on them too. But I am going South Dakota State. One other conference kicking things off with its 8-9 game. We have William and Mary versus Northeastern in the Colonial Tournament. Amazingly, Northeastern, the 9 seed, when a lot of us at the start of the season thought Northeastern would win this conference. It's
Yeah,
been what a
what a
disappointing year for them.
spectacular year for Northeastern. It's shockingly how bad they've been, and I think it's time to shoot that sled dog.
Well, I don't know. They started playing a little bit better the last couple of weeks of the season, picked up a few wins. I think they beat William and Mary. I don't know that they can beat Towson in the next round, but I think they could beat William and Mary.
Yeah, like I still like this Hofstra team. But again, College of Charleston's good too. This is one of those leagues that everybody's looked had their moments where they've looked good, even William and Mary, who had that win against Hofstra. But Towson, I guess, has been the most consistent. But I don't know why. I just can't get. I think Hofstra is better than what they've shown for most of the year. At least they can be, and I keep waiting for them to show it,
So
which means they'll probably lose the CFC.
you're picking Hofstra to win this then?
Yes.
I'm going to go with the 1 seed. I'm going Towson here. Dorman, where are you going?
I'm going with Towson too. I do think Hofstra, the fighting Speedy Claxton. Speedy has done a really nice job at his alma mater. And I also hope on the Northeastern discussion, this is one of my coaches that I really enjoy year in and year out, Bill Cohen at Northeastern. I hope this is not the end of the line for him. Usually does a great job year in and year out in one of the toughest D1 situations in the country. He deserves more time. He's really earned it. This should be a really fun tournament. Like David said, these teams have had their moments, a lot of them all year, and who knows who's going to get hot, but this should be really wild.
And don't forget about UNC Wilmington. This is a team that just kept finding ways to win games all season. So don't be surprised if they keep doing it.
This one should be a fun tournament. Yeah, but Northeastern, it was just so inexplicable. Like, how?
Yeah, I mean, there were injuries and stuff, but to fall all the way to last place was crazy. Let's take a quick look at our survival board. This is our NCAA tournament survival board. It's a tool that we do to help out the selection committee. And what we do here is we categorize teams in different ways. There are teams that are in blue, such as Baylor and Iowa State. Those teams are locks. That means they're in the field no matter what. Correct, Griggs?
Yes, they're in the field, so the committee knows they have to select those teams.
Right. Then we have teams that are in regular type, like, for example, Eastern Washington or Idaho. So what does the committee know when they see that type of team?
They don't select them without the automatic bid.
Automatic
bid. And they know not to do that.
Okay. You may have a team like that's in red, actually, like North Alabama or Kennesaw State or Gulf Coast. Those teams should not even be considered, correct?
Right, yeah, because they're ineligible.
And then you have teams like that are in green, like Indiana, Michigan. Those teams are under consideration, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. And so, for example, so we see there in the Big Ten or the conference above it, the Carver Bible Conference.
Whoa! What happened there?
I thought we got this bug out of the system here. What the heck is going on? It's not the. I think that's supposed to be the Big South. I'm not that certain.
Yeah.
But okay, Carver Bible taking over.
We need to get this fixed. Otherwise, the committee's going to select Carver Bible on the day.
This heading into the day today, though, we had 291 teams left. As a result of today's action and a couple eliminations out of the Mid-American Conference, as well as that conference wrapped up in season, let's see what happened. Two 176 teams left.
Yeah, chipping away.
We're down
to the sweet 276.
Sweet 276.
Get your t-shirts.
We still gotta get down to 68. Oh, this podcast is starting to go off the rails again, isn't it? What's else? What else is left? Our rivalry creator. I thought we were going to cancel this, but apparently people want it back again. This is our rivalry creator, where if you have a rivalry that you want us to discuss, you want us to see, we will take a look at it here. And, so for example, give me we have a normal rivalry. Like, let's say.
UC Irvine, Long Beach.
UC Irvine and Long Beach. Okay, let's see here. UC Irvine.
And this is a real one.
This is a real rivalry. So let's type in here. UC Irvine, if I can type correctly, and Long Beach State. So what the computer will do is it will look and see if there's a rivalry. Oh, there it is. It's the Black and Blue rivalry.
Yeah.
A little known fact about the Black and Blue rivalry. Find out here. The teams are 8 miles apart and have never been in the NCAA tournament.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Wow. Didn't know that.
I guess while we're out in the West Coast, what happened if we took another team for the West Coast? So this was suggested by one of our colleagues here. But what if we took Ball State from the Mid-American Conference and we sent them out west to play Sacramento State?
This is a real one, too, I believe.
I believe this is a real.
This is the trophy game.
This is a trophy game. Computer, can you please tell us if Ball State and Sacramento State play, what trophy would this be?
Oh,
I'm not even going to read that. Okay.
Those of you listening and not watching, it's the Battle of the Ball Sack.
What's it gonna say, Griggs? We gotta get this computer fixed here. Maybe that's why Carver Bible's showing up everywhere. Oh, let me go to each of you for any final
Twitter's
thoughts.
Going to break.
I'll start.
Dorman, go ahead.
I'm going to give a little heat to the West Coast Conference here. This conference is more than St. Mary's and Gonzaga, okay? The starting games at 1 a.m. Eastern tomorrow night is a bad idea. You want to get eyeballs on your conference and your games as much as possible. The starting games at 1 Eastern, Hoops HD is watching everything. Yes, we're all over it. But most people are going to bed and not watching this game. You want games to be watched on TV, especially this time. I know the game's in Vegas. I have no problem with late games. I like it. After all, most of the other action is done. But 1 a.m., 11, 11:30, okay, 1 a.m., bad idea. West Coast Conference, start the game earlier. People want to watch.
I'll give West Coast Conference this. They actually are listing the game as a 12:30 a.m. start. But their game before that is at 10:30 p.m.
Correct.
You don't get a game done in 2 hours and get the next team out there and ready. It's going to start at 1 a.m.
Probably 1:30.
Maybe even 1:30 a.m. Eastern, especially if the BYU San Francisco game goes long, which it could if it's a close game. I'm a college basketball addict. I love this time of year. I don't think I'm going to watch Stanford the end of that game. Griggs.
Especially since it's not really high, other than getting to play the next day, it's not really high stakes. It's not like the BYU San Francisco game. Right. If that one were at 1, yeah, we'd watch it.
Any other final thoughts from you?
It doesn't seem like you have a whole lot of compelling storylines. You have a few, but either under the radar or on the radar. But one of them really is Longwood, a school without a whole lot of basketball tradition or culture. Suddenly finished first. You watch them down the stretch, and albeit their arena is tiny, it was packed. I think there's a lot of energy and a lot of excitement, and how cool would it be to see them win the auto bid?
I guess a little side note on that, actually, they're playing South Carolina Upstate tomorrow. Neither one of those teams have ever made the NCAA tournament, so the winner of that game will have a chance in the Big South title game for their first ever bid. But on that note, on behalf of David Dorman and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another Championship Week video notebook before that late West Coast Conference game goes final. have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.